At 24 and a half minutes after the hour, it's time to talk with Dr. Don Clark. Don, a member of the board at Creation Moments. He has the Valle del Apache Winery in Garden Valley, Texas. That's where he comes from today. But just up until a few days ago, you were in Wasilla, Alaska. Don, welcome home. And what'd you discover in Alaska?
Well, you know, it probably a surprise to most people, but it was cold up there.
That sounds refreshing to me somehow.
Who knew?
Yeah,
who
well, knew? Who knew? No, when we got there, it was 40 degrees during the day, which was, it was nice and comfortable. And then the temperatures dropped down to 20 degrees, at nighttime and 30 degrees during the day. And most of the time it didn't get too much above freezing. But in spite of all that, we were able to get around, and we were visiting my son and daughter-in-law, who live in Wasilla, and we visited some areas around there, and went up and saw a glacier. We weren't able to get that close to it, but we did see. We did see a glacier in the far off distance, and we drove in the mountains, played in the snow, frolicked in the snow, if you will.
Oh, okay,
and, had a good time.
You know, one of the things I suspect about Alaska, because there was the same in Minnesota, but it's even colder in Alaska. They've got a lot of mosquitoes. Is it true that in Alaska mosquitoes have winter coats?
Well, we didn't have any mosquitoes when
good.
Okay. When we were up there, but I did ask about them because there's water all over the place,
mm-hmm.
and either ponds or lakes or whatever, and they have apparently a ton of mosquitoes during the summer.
Yeah,
I heard they weightlift.
I think that's the state bird of Alaska, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I heard the
that's what
strong.
They say is the the mosquito. So hopefully, I don't know if I would assume bats live in the area, which eat a lot of mosquitoes, and I don't know if they have mosquito hawks like we do down here. But any bird or
wait a minute, now, I live in Texas with you now.
Mosquitoes would be beneficial.
What's a mosquito hawk? I've never. Is that a another bug that eats mosquitoes, or is it a bird?
No. It's an insect. It's an insect.
Alrighty.
It's got flying. It's it looks like a an old-fashioned airplane, actually.
Mm,
it's got two wings on each side, and when they light on something, it's got a long tail.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like an airplane.
And I know that entomology is out of your specialty here, but Don is a biochemist with a lot of experience in pharmaceuticals, which equips him really well to talk about our topic today, which some people are calling long COVID. And with this article you sent me, Don, I'm learning new words. Let me take a running start at this word, autophagy.
That's one way of pronouncing it.
Okay.
Autophagy.
Is it autophagy?
Autophagy.
Okay.
We'll talk about that.
Well, I had to look it up. It's your body's way of cleaning out old dead cells and things and rejuvenating itself. And apparently, according to the article you provided here, the COVID vaccines inhibit that natural process to our detriment. Is that true?
Well, that is true, and it appears that both folks who have had COVID and maybe not have gotten the vaccine, and they get this condition called long COVID, may have a lot of different issues related to that, brain, heart, lungs, endocrine dysfunction, inflammation, deregulation, immune dysregulation, for example. All of these symptoms are very similar to what people have gotten who have just had the vaccine. And that is post-COVID vaccine syndrome. So the long COVID, which specifically refers to those people who have actually had COVID-19, and post-COVID vaccine syndrome. The symptoms are very, very similar, if not exactly the same. And so they're attributing these symptoms to the spike protein, not surprisingly. Most
now,
of it
is that an educated guess? Is that a logical process that says there's that connection, or do they actually, can they prove it medically?
I don't know if they've done any biochemical studies to say that, necessarily that the spike protein is causing all of this, it appears that way from, let's say, the clinical studies that have been done. And about 18 to 19% of patients who have either had COVID or have gotten the vaccine have these conditions. So it is real, and a lot of these folks are having issues. Of course, the vaccine-induced problems, are the vaccine is designed, obviously, to make the spike protein in your own cells, and so you could imagine that people perhaps with multiple that they've got the original vaccine and they've got multiple boosters run a greater chance of getting some of these conditions.
Now, does this stuff wear off? Do the spike proteins that the vaccine introduces into your system, do they wear down and disappear, or do they linger around for long periods? Because you're talking about some rather subtle symptoms that hang around for a long time, and I'm wondering if there are people walking around out there who have this and don't really know it, don't understand why they're tired, don't understand why their mental ability is declining. And people like David mimics old age, kind of.
Sorry, what?
Yeah, well, as we learn, as we learn more and more about this, apparently this does hang on for a while. I mean, it's not called long COVID until you start having these symptoms or continue to have these symptoms 3 months plus, either having COVID or haven't been vaccinated. So, apparently it can last 18 months or even longer. The only limitation, I think, right now is the length of time that people have been studied. And so people are still coming in, to the doctor's office with these strange symptoms of dizziness, and obviously smell and taste was one of the prognoses as to whether or not you had COVID in the first place. But with some people, like my wife, for example, her smell, sense of smell, is still diminished. It's not as bad as it was, but it's still diminished. So it hangs on for a very long time. And one of the processes that you talked about this word, autophagy or autophagy, however you pronounce it. Anyway, it's autophagocytosis is the complete word. And what that means is that your cells pretty much auto-destruct. That's a good thing if you're trying to get rid of waste products, and waste products build up in your cells, over time, and lysozyme or lysosomes are created, and these are little packets, little vesicles inside your cells that chew up the proteins in the sugars that have pretty much run their course. Or if your body makes, for example, a defective protein, they get transported into these lysosomes then broken down. And then, of course, the contents can be released, which are now amino acids or sugars or lipids or fats and those type of things, the stuff that we normally, eat food and get those type of things naturally. And so autophagocytosis is a very important function of our cells, and when the cells, you know, build up, you know, too much of this, then it can be detrimental. So you want, for example, cancer cells to undergo that process, because obviously it kills the cancer cell. But normally this is built into our systems to help keep us healthy and young. And the spike protein apparently disrupts that whole process. And so you don't have this natural ability of your cells to kind of auto-destruct. And all of these toxins and these bad proteins just kind of hang around. And that seems to be the case here, that the spike protein, which is the main toxin with the virus or with the vaccine, for example, is causing a disruption of this whole system. And it also, they know now that the spike protein, for example, decreases natural killer cells and inhibits their activity.
That's your immune system.
Immune system. Mm-hmm. That is your immune system. So you've got specific antibodies that are formed against an antigen, and we probably talked about this, some time back. But an antigen might be a virus, it might be the bacteria or whatever it happens to be, are parts thereof, and so the first line of defense are these antibodies that then coat the invading molecule or organism or whatever it happens to be, and then you've got other cells that come along, and your white blood cells, for example, that engulf the thing and chew it up. That's pretty much the whole process of your immune system. Now, the killer T cells are these cells, big cells in your white blood cells, for example, that go around, and they destroy foreign materials and foreign bodies, in your blood. And so if you haven't been immunized, or if you're exposed to a new variant of, let's say, the virus, then it's the job of your killer T cells to go and take care of those before it causes too much damage within your body. And so the killer T cells are very important to your immune system, and very important to keeping you, healthy, or if you do get sick, to minimize the sickness or the degree of sickness in your body. Yeah. So by depressing the killer, and the killer T cells are also responsible for going around and saying, oh, this cell is abnormal, so I'm going to go and I'm going to chew it up, or I'm going to take care of it. So if you have a deregulation or a dysregulated killer T cell or inflammation system, and then you should expect to see an increase in cancers, which is indeed what we've seen post COVID and post these vaccines, that people have their cancers, which may have been suppressed or not active, then all of a sudden start flaring up. Well, it's because your immune system is broken, and your immune system, which would normally keep these cells in check, are no longer functioning properly to keep your cells in check.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, but it seems that in the news a few months ago, reporting on adverse events, people who had the vaccine and were getting boosters were actually more susceptible to the new variants, and I've forgotten the names, but there's been a bunch of variants now. They were actually more susceptible to the variant and had more severe cases and were more likely to be hospitalized, even though overall the COVID infection was not as serious as the initial virus was. But still, they got sick, they got hospitalized to a greater degree than people who didn't have COVID and didn't have the vaccine. Is that accurate?
I think that's the findings. What we're finding now is that folks were hypersensitized, and the main reason is because of this dysregulation, if you will, of the inflammatory or your immune system, primarily in this downregulation or a decrease in your natural killer cells. So you don't want a decrease in your natural killer cells, obviously. You want an increase in natural killer cells. And you need to do things that will increase your immune system and increase this process called autophagy or autophagy. And that is have the dysfunctional cells, you know, automatically die is putting it another way, kind of self-eating itself and getting all the garbage.
It's a cleansing system. It's a self-cleaning process that your body goes through. What can you do to boost your, that word, autophagy, that process?
So, yes, there are several things that you can do. And what has kind of popped up as some of the things that will help you is this intermittent fasting. So fasting can be good, and intermittent fasting, that is, you don't eat as often, and you kind of have a period where your body rests from eating, can be quite beneficial to you and can stimulate, for example, these cells to kind of, you know, self-destruct. So in fasting, you're not supplying your body, obviously, with the glucose, the amino acids, and the fatty acids that you normally would take in. And so the cell says, "Oh, well, maybe I got to process this junk material that I've got laying around," and so that's what it does. It starts, you know, spending more energy, if you will, to process the stuff that's the garbage, if you will, the proteins and the fatty acids.
So, what does this mean practically? You go without eating for a day or for 2 days? Is that it? And then you can eat again? I mean, what's the prescription there?
Well, I think it's just eating, and it's not necessarily just skipping a day of meals. You can start to slowly, for example, with a 10-hour eating window that you say, okay, I'm going to eat within this 10-hour window during the day, for 5 days a week. And then you can start reducing that to reach an 8-hour window. So you kind of tighten the times that you eat. So instead of waking up in the morning and saying, you know, I'm going to eat at 8 o'clock in the morning, and then my last meal is going to be 8 o'clock at night, that's a 12-hour window. Then you would cut that back down, obviously, to a 10-hour window, and then ultimately to an 8-hour window. So it's not that difficult, you know, to do. It's just being conscious that I'm only going to eat during this time, and then not eat after a certain hour in the afternoon. And to allow my body essentially to recover and to stimulate this process of autophagy that we've been talking about. So that's one way of stimulating that activity. Another way is near infrared radiation, sunlight near infrared radiation, and photobiomodulation. So near infrared radiation, it's obviously in the sun, and there are the best sauna you could get. If you're going to get a sauna, don't get the steam sauna, but get a near infrared sauna, because the energy penetrates deeper into your skin and into your system. Then you certainly don't want an ultraviolet. You don't want to use ultraviolet, because that obviously can produce skin cancer. But the infrared the infrared saunas and just being exposed to sunlight, just getting out into the sun on a, you know, daily basis is extremely good. And being out in the open air in the influenza back in the day when there was a big and I'm not finding it in the article, but there was a big influenza pandemic, or not
back
pandemic,
in 1918, just after World War, just after World War One, we're talking about that influenza.
Yes, the best thing that the doctors found was having people go outside and spend time in the sun. And that that helped tremendously. Nothing the doctors could do would help, but being out in the sun helped tremendously. So, of course, some of the benefits that you get from the sun is you increase your vitamin D synthesis, so you're creating more vitamin D, but it goes beyond the vitamin D and has other beneficial effects, and it stimulates the mitochondria, for example, to increase ATP, which is the energy molecule in your cell, and that helps get things going in your cells as well. So that's another thing that you could that you could and you should do on a regular basis. Anyway, this whole idea of working in an office and being in the office all day is not really good for people. I mean, you know, God wanted us to be outside and enjoying the creation around us and not stuck in a stuffy office all day. So even if you have to do that for work, for example, you should go out during your lunchtime, take a nice long walk outside, and enjoy the sunshine. Of course, if it's raining, you got other problems. But, you know,
I'm thinking of the symptoms of long COVID here. And it might be hard for people to distinguish between COVID, long COVID symptoms, and just feeling mildly ill or just not quite up to par. I mean, you could go on for months feeling that way when it's really the fault of the COVID vaccine and the boosters you're getting.
Yes, it could very well be. And but all of these things that we're talking about can help, you know,
vitamins
that, we
recommend vitamins.
Yeah. You know, vitamins, of course, you know, continue to take vitamin C, vitamin D, you know, zinc, you know, quercetin, you know, these type of things that we've talked about, you know, on the program. N-acetylcysteine, you know, will help getting quality sleep and the time of your sleep. So sleep helps repair a lot of things in your body. That's the primary function of sleep, is to you go through the day and you build up you know, these toxins in your body, and sleep helps to eliminate that. Interestingly enough, and you know, this article talks about meditation. Another article talks about something else which helps the brain fog and you know, the confusion that some of the symptoms of long COVID and the vaccine effects.
David and I are listening now. Our interest is piqued. Brain fog. What fixes that?
Yeah, brain fog. So meditation. And, you know, the best meditation that you could do is spend time reading your Bible and meditating about the scriptures that you've just read. Of course, this article just talks about meditation, but, you know, folks that have meditated have decreased their brain fog and increased their neurological activity tremendously by doing that. Now, it's also been found that, and this was in another article, but it's also been found that kindness, being kind, decreases. For example, one of the side effects of this is of all of this has been an increase in dementia and other neurological degenerative diseases, including Alzheimer's, that we've seen post-COVID. So there's been an increase of that, and patients that or people that are kind, you know, be kind to one another, the Bible says, have also benefited. It can help eliminate or can help reduce the symptoms or slow down or even stop Alzheimer, for example, just by being kind, which is, you know, which is interesting. You wouldn't think that that would have such a positive effect. But it seems that the words of Scripture are very effective in keeping us healthy the way God intended us to be. Now, another benefit, of course, is exercise. You know, sitting around all day is not good. You know, doctors have been telling us this for a long time. But exercising gets things, your circulation, circulatory system functioning properly, and strengthens your bones as well as your muscles, and all of that, it, you know, helps to produce more mitochondria within your muscles and cells, and that's also quite beneficial.
What about taking, now, I've been in a health food store, vitamin shops, more often now than ever in my life. Because of our conversations with you, among other things, and we've had no problems in this family with the, with the immune systems being just flowing with health right now. And but I've also noticed being in there that there are things I've never thought about taking, putting into my body before. Melatonin is one of them. You can buy capsules or pills of melatonin. Is that a good idea? Because that's the central part of this whole process.
Yes, melatonin activates your mitochondria, for example, and melatonin, of course, is a result of getting sun exposure as well, and so, you know, when you tan, you're producing melatonin, and that's the pigment in your skin, you know, when you go outside and get some sun. So melatonin is quite effective in helping these symptoms. Another, of course, you know, you need a prescription for this in the United States, is ivermectin. Ivermectin's been shown to have great positive effects with long COVID.
Yeah, the article talks about a number of these things, including ivermectin and spermidine and terpene nutrients, kinds of things I don't know about. And I just want to mention to folks who are listening, if you go to brokenroadradio.com, look in the chat window, there is a link to this article, which comes out of the Epic Times people. And there's a whole lot of detail in there that we can't cover in the conversation, so you might want to take a quick read. It's a fairly lengthy article, but, you know, give yourself 10 or 15 minutes with it. You could learn a lot. So take a look at the link in the chat window at brokenroadradio.com. You'll be able to find this article and read it for yourself. Don, it's good to have you back. And, well, I'm glad you enjoyed Alaska, got back safely. No frostbite, no nothing like that. So that's good.
Nope. No, we stayed warm. We were in good shape.
All right.
Mosquito hawk, by the way, Jim, it's for us people in the lower 48, they're called dragonflies.
Dragonflies. Oh, okay. Oh, I know what a dragonfly is.
That's another name for it.
Mosquito hawks. Okay. Well, we learned a lot today. And, Don, we typically, that happens when you join us. And we'll look forward to next week and learning more.
It seems like it happens every time.
It does. It really does.
Yeah. It seems like it happens every time.
Well, thank you, folks.
There are some times when we don't learn anything, but not too often.
Well, when we have to listen, too, you know, at the same time. We do.
Oh, we have to pay attention.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, you have to pay attention. You know, things go by pretty quickly.
Sometimes, you know, brain fog is a bigger challenge than other
brain
times.
Brain fog sets in, and then you've got major issues.
Then you got trouble.
Don, have a great week.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you.
See you, Don.
See you next week. All right. So long.